Thanks be to God. Let's have a time of prayer. Lord, we bow our heads in front of you, knowing that you are in charge, knowing that you are with us when we face the wall, and knowing that you give us strength to overcome all difficulties and all trials in our lives. So be with us once more as we focus our hearts onto you and to your words. May the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart become only worthy in front of you. May you lower me, and may your words be exalted. We thank you and we pray this all in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to thank everyone for coming in to worship. I want to thank Louise helping me out, and also the youth for sharing your experience. By retelling our stories, we truly see how God starts to work in our lives. I want to welcome everyone once more, especially we want to welcome and honor, I always mumble at this time, trying to make it right, Kathleen, because Kathleen was here a couple weeks ago, but we didn't get to honor her with the flowers. So thank you. Thank you, Dadkins, and also thank you, Cindy, for making this happen. Today, I want to share some thoughts about the Wall of Jericho. And when we talk about the wall, that's the story that we had with the children is something that we all know. So I don't want to go in that way. I want to go and put a little twist onto the story of God. Let me ask you a question before we start. Do anybody in this room recognize what Philippians chapter 4, 13, verse 13 is? Does anybody know the verse? It is a quite popular verse. And I think a lot of people might know it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. And this is surely one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible verses that we can see. I believe that this has a lot and lots of encouragement, lots and lots of possibilities as we live in this world as Christians. But the reason why I'm sharing this is not because I want to reemphasize on how great this Bible verse is. Sadly, I have to tell you that a lot of the time, this Bible verse is misused. It is one of the most loved Bible verse because people use it as a way to strengthen their walls. They want to do something, and they know that they cannot overcome all the obstacles that will be heading in front of them. So what they do is they ask God for help. And I have to tell you that a lot of times God provides that strength for people, and they do overcome it. But as we do this and as we love this verse, we have to see where this motivation comes from. Does it really come from trying to glorify God's name? Or is it something that we memorize because we want to see our name lifted on high? Whenever human beings have this kind of desire to lift our names on high, God has a way of tearing it down. And we see it from Genesis chapter 11. When all these people come and says this, they want to build a tower up high that will reach the heaven. And these people said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Are you by any chance loving that Bible verse because you think that God will help you to make a name for yourself? I'm not blaming anybody who loves this Bible verse. I'm just asking us to reconsider our motivation of loving this Bible verse. When we have this desire to put our name on high, God has a way to tear it all down. When we tend to think that all the security and all the things that we have and we earn is a brick for us to build a wall Thou support us. Thou put us safe. Somehow God has a way to tear it down so we will be vulnerable in front of God. The Israelites were in this stage. They crossed the Jordan River. They were reaffirmed that they are the people of God. They were there in front of the walls of Jericho. And like we had shared last Sunday, God had to come down, tell them to do three things. Tell them to be circumcised. Tell them to observe the Passover meal. And also, God had to select Joshua to come and kneel down in front of the army, the commander of the angel armies, just to do one thing, making sure that God was in control and making sure that the Israelites were totally humbled enough to see God's will. God had to make way to make them surrender their lives in front of God to make everything possible. And as Joshua and the Israelites humbled and surrendered their lives, that's when God's name was lifted on high. Circling around the walls for 6 days. And on the very last day, circling around 7 more times and roaring in front of the walls and seeing that the walls collapse and tumble down, the only thing God was trying to do was lifting God's name up because of his people who were the armies of the angels, followed and obeyed him. The Israelites were the armies of the angels because, like I said from last week, when the armies of the commander of the angels came and the army of God came, it was only the commander who came, and there was no such sign of angels being the army. That signifies that Israelites were the army of God. And when the army of God humbly surrendered and followed and submitted themselves into God's direction, that is when God made the walls fall down. Let me talk about this following, because we are all the army of God, and when God asks you to do it, we have to do it. It's a matter of whether or not we are humble enough to surrender everything in front of God, or we are stubborn that we do not listen to God's direction. When God says, circle around the walls, would you be humble enough to follow what God says and ask you to do? Unless we totally submit ourselves to God, that would not happen. There was a story of this army commander called Naaman, and he had a leprosy. And he wanted to have this leprosy healed, but he didn't find a way to do it. He went through all the remedy. He went through all the medication at his time, and there was no way for him to do it. This general of Aram had heard that this great prophet in Israel called Elijah would be able to heal his leprosy. So he gets a letter from his king, and he comes and visits the king of Israel. The king of Israel, when he receives Naaman and the commander with the letter of the king of Aram, he starts to freak out because he has no idea of how he's going to heal this man's disease. Then Elisha, who heard that the king of Israel freaks out, sends a messenger and calls Naaman to come and visit him. And without coming out and greeting this great commander, Elisha sends his messenger and says, go down to the Jordan River and wash yourself 7 times and you'll see your skin healing. Are you all familiar with this story? Do you remember the reaction of Naaman? Did he say, whoa, that was a new remedy I never heard about. Let me go down and wash myself in Jordan. Probably Israel has a a different source of water that we do not have in Aram. He did not say that. Instead, he got furious. He wanted to turn back because he did not want to follow the directions of Elijah, which was also the directions of God. Then one of his wise servants comes and says, Lord, if Elijah asked you something more difficult, wouldn't you have done it? Because look at you. You are covered with leprosy. And the vulnerability of Naaman had kicked in at that time. He knew that he was suffering because of this disease. And he knew that vulnerability, even though he was a prideful commander of the army, coming down to Israelite, which was a weaker nation at that time, and coming to this prophet who he never saw because he sent his messenger out to just convey a direction. His vulnerability led him to follow the words of the prophet by God. So he comes down to the Jordan River. What happens? After seven times, do you remember what it says in the Bible? His skin turned like a skin of a baby boy. And if you think that is from the effect of Jordan River, I do, as a matter of fact, have a bottle of Jordan River sitting in my desk. And if that is a way of you coming back and being a youthful kid, and if you are that vulnerable and desperate, I will definitely help you, and I share that with you. But it's not that. The vulnerability helped Naaman to surrender his will in front of God and follow God's direction, regardless of how ridiculous it might have sounded. And sometimes, isn't it weird that God actually uses our vulnerability to connect with God? I hear a lot of stories from our parishioners. I hear a lot of stories of the believers. And they have been successful in their lives, gaining and exceeding all the standards of lives. But there is this point where they hit this wall because the wall they had thought they were building up all tumbled down. And they hit this wall of crisis, whether it is health, whether it is family crisis, whatever it is. They hit this wall, and they are in front of this wall. And a lot of the times, they feel vulnerable. They're open to this crisis, and they seem weak and unprepared. But that is the point where a lot of our Christians find God and actually connect with God. This vulnerability becomes a gift in their lives that they totally submit themselves down in front of the knees of God. And that's when they see God breaking down the walls of Jericho that was blocking them. And that was becoming the biggest obstacles of their lives. Do you remember that story? Then the point of my story is this. Why do we have to wait until we hit that point of vulnerability? Why do we have to wait until we hit a crisis in our life? Crisis will come. But why do you wait until this crisis comes in front of you? But rather, what if you humble yourselves in front of God before that crisis comes down and follow God's direction, regardless of how ridiculous it might sound like? Circling around Jericho for seven times on the seventh day and not even touching or laying a hand onto the wall and just roaring and screaming and waiting for God to come and work in your life. Isn't that a life worth following? And I hope that this is a life not only worth following, but a life that you will be able to share with others, and sharing how God had mightily worked in your life. May us all lay down our lives in front of God and humbly obey God's direction. And may us all see how God works, tear down the wall, only for God's glory and not ours. Let us all pray. Lord, we confess that we are such a vulnerable and weak mere creation. And we know that through this vulnerability, and we know that through this time of humbling ourselves, we know how you will take control and how you will become the Lord of our lives and how you will tear down all the walls that we might face in this life. Be with us, Lord. First, give us the heart to humble ourselves and totally surrender our lives in front of you and obey your directions so we will see you fulfilling your will in our lives. And as we humble ourselves, let us see one thing, that through this whole submission, that in Christ, I will do everything because you strengthen us. May that be a prayer and the motivation of our life, that we truly lift up your name and your name only. Tear down all the walls that we might have built in our own security. But may you become the strong fortress and the strong tower, protecting us and leading us in this journey. We thank you, and we pray this all in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.